Almost all the pieces are in place to move some meaningful defense acquisition reform in the 114th Congress. Senator John McCain is the new chair of the Senate Armed Services Committee. Congressman Thornberry, as just mentioned, is the new chair of the House Armed Services Committee. And each of them has a body of work on the subject of defense acquisition reform. Deputy Defense Secretary Robert Work and Undersecretary for Acquisition Technology and Logistics Frank Kendall are on board with an overhaul of acquisition, and Ashton Carter's nomination as the new Secretary of Defense puts him in a position to be able to move that as the originator of the better buying power concept. Alex Ward is Assistant Director of the Brent Scowcroft Center on International Security at the Atlantic Council, my guest on Pentagon Solutions today. And Alex, thank you, first of all, for joining me. It's fair to say, I suppose, from reading what you write in War on the Rocks, that you are not as optimistic as other folks are in town for defense acquisition reform. Thank you for joining me this afternoon. Why is it that you're writing, "Don't Believe the Defense Acquisition Reform Hype," Alex?
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks for having me here. I would just say, you know, briefly, for three reasons. The first one is Secretary Carter, will be there. He's unlikely to have the time to focus on defense acquisition, since he'll be focused on so many other threats and issues around the world. The second is Congress will probably focus more on oversight rather than reform. We even heard that in Congressman Thornberry's comments yesterday at the American Enterprise Institute. And the third one is that Frank Kendall's Better Buying Power 3.0 is widely accepted within the halls of Congress and elsewhere, and that will likely continue going forward, which means we may see some incremental change along those lines, but nothing drastic as people are predicting.
These are three interesting concepts, Alex. Let's talk about each of them in turn. The first one, the timeline that Secretary Carter will have to deal with, is already shrinking because we were expecting originally, when he was nominated, to see confirmation hearings late this month. It's already now late this month, and we understand, I believe, the latest potential beginning is the end of February, and it's possible they could push to March now, I'm hearing. And so that means he might not be confirmed until late March, early April. The timeline's already truncating for him. What does that mean specifically as far as his ability to continue initiatives, especially ones that are already on the books and theoretically already in progress?
I don't think it means many good things for him. I think he really has about a year anyway for him to get most of the things he wants done completed, and then he has that lame duck year, unless, of course, he's kept in the next presidential administration. So really what the changes you're going to see will have to come from Congress, and they will likely originate out of the House Armed Services with Thornberry, if at all.
Senator McCain recently was involved with the collection of information about defense acquisition reform with Senator Levin, although they didn't do it in their roles as chair and ranking member of the Senate Armed Services Committee. They did it as in their roles as chairman and ranking member of the Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations, I believe, in the Oversight or Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. So Senator McCain has a body of work of demonstrating that he's interested in this topic and he wants to push it. Why do you think he's going to be more consumed with oversight than actual reform as the SASC chairman?
Well, when the senator in the past has held hearings or been a part of hearings related to defense acquisition, he's normally talked about the cost overruns and the delays and has never actually gotten to the nitty-gritty of the defense acquisition system. So I think it's reasonable to expect that going forward, he's going to, you know, put up platforms up for hearings. He's going to say, why is this costing too much? Why is this taking too long? And he won't necessarily look to change things from the bottom up. So I think you should expect to see that going forward, especially now that he's in charge of what hearings come to the Hill and on in front of the SASC. And on top of that, he started off with America's Role in the World hearings. And I think he's more focused on that in his legacy, trying to help place America in a greater strategic context as opposed to dealing with the nitty-gritty, again, of defense acquisition.
I mentioned the title of your piece, "Don't Believe the Defense Acquisition Reform Hype." You're writing it on War on the Rocks, and we have a link at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Alex Ward of the Atlantic Council is my guest. And you write about Senator McCain. He likely will not do much to change the system other than to point out its faults. Is that counterproductive at this point, since a lot of people seem to have a bead on what the faults are in the defense acquisition reform system or defense acquisition system, Alex?
No, I think you might as well point out that things are costing too much and things are going long, because at the end of the day, it costs the American taxpayer likely more money for many of these kinds of programs that could have been completed earlier or cost less. So there's nothing wrong with pointing it out. But if you do want to solve the problem, you do have to go and get into the details. if you're just going to keep pointing out that things are going badly, then there'll continue to be hearings about things going badly because you haven't tried to solve the issue.
You're right. Congressman Thornberry will be the most active on the reform front, most likely working to rewrite existing legislation. That's probably a good thing, especially if he's doing it and his staff is doing it in conjunction with Senator McCain and his staff on the Senate side, right?
Surely, but I don't think it will be this grand, substantial change that many are predicting. I think it will be, as he said yesterday at AEI, some slow and steady progress, and much of what already is being done with Better Buying Power 3.0. So I think you might see some movement in authority and accountability. You might see some movement in workforce. And workforce improvement, but I don't think you'll see this complete change as many assume by having, as I call, the Holy Trinity in the Pentagon and the dynamic duo in Congress.
We'll talk more about those them in just a moment, and Congressman Thornberry's remarks from AEI. You'll hear some of them later in the hour. My colleague Jared Serbu covering that event on federalnewsradio.com/Jared Serbu right now. The concept of acquisition reform in the form of better buying power is what you write the current path of reform is, and that it's the accepted path of reform. Is better buying power just good enough to let people kind of lose a sense of momentum and urgency and say, oh, okay, we're doing that already, that's good enough?
I think so. And in fact, I mean, not to say that BBP 3.0 is not a bad way forward. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that it already is a way forward and that we should continue things on that trajectory as opposed to a wholesale substantial change. Congressman Thornberry is along with Secretary Kendall on this. I think we'll see a lot of those proposals continue, and some of the legislation will have to do with what Kendall has proposed. But I doubt you'll see much deviation from our current path.
And you wrote in this piece, a letter from Mr. Kendall to Senator McCain last June showed they both agree that, quote, defense acquisition improvement as opposed to defense acquisition reform should be our goal. What do you think the difference is between those two terms? Because they sound awfully similar to me, Alex.
Sure. Well, reform, I think, is you're looking to completely undo and remake the system. As a former wrestling coach, you know, you build it down to build it up, or you break it down to build it up. But now, I think what you'll see is slight changes at the margins. I think that's what improvement is. You'll see some things that aren't working as well, and you'll look to make them a little better, or as much better as you can. And then the rest you'll let continue, because they're not asking the right question, which is the current system that we have now even the right way to go? And if they aren't asking themselves that question, then they'll just continue to work at the margins of what we already have.
And is it your view that that's what we need to do? To at least, if we don't tear the whole thing down and start over, that at least we should entertain the possibility, or maybe conceive, think, dream what that might look like, and then see what the closest path to execution of that is. Is that, in your view, the wisest thing that we could do right now, Alex?
It's one of the things I think we should be doing. We shouldn't accept the status quo as the way forward. If you think about the defense industry of 2050, let's say, is this exactly what we want? Cost overruns, long delays. I think we want to think of something different, and better buying power 3.0 is that way forward. But if it's not, then I think we need to go back to the drawing board and at least tease out some lessons from what going back to the drawing board would give us.
If we see some procurement in the next maybe 3 to 5 years, it might take that long to get one out the door that was done fully under the better buying power principles. But if we see one or two systems come through that way, and they're done well, and they're done on time, and they're done under budget, and they're not done under concurrency like we've seen with some of the systems that are in progress right now, is that the point that we could say, okay, better buying power is working pretty well, and this is an acceptable form of improvement or reform or whatever we want to call it?
I think what will be acceptable is, sure, I mean, if that were to happen, I think that'd be great. I think what we need, though, is to make sure, you know, what does the military need? What does America's defenses need? Okay, how do we get it to them at the best cost and in the quickest and most efficient way? And if that's what BBP 3.0 gives us, then fantastic. But if it's not, then we need to look to make some sort of system that gives us that.
Okay, you kind of tipped your hand to the answer to my last question, Alex, but I'll ask it anyway. There are what I'm starting to detect three schools of thought around town about how we move forward on this. One is a strategy first school of thought, which is we figure out what we want to do and what the threat landscape looks like, formulate a strategy, and then figure out how to find the money to pay for that. The second is the budget first school of thought, which is let's get the top line and then figure out what we can afford to do with that. And then the third school of thought is kind of a mashup of those two, which is we try to do them simultaneously and figure out as we're going along, okay, we have this much money and we can do this and we can do this and we have this much money and so on and so forth, back and forth. Where do you think the ideal for defense acquisition reform falls? Which school of thought do you think?
I think in somewhere in between the second and third, because you can come up with any strategy that's not constrained by budgets off the top of your head. That's not hard. Sadly, that's not the world we live in. So every strategy we conceive of has to come first from the budget, because those are the resources you have. So working from the budget, then you can come up with what can you do. And hopefully that once you have what can you do, then you go to what do we need. And from there, you start to build your defense acquisition system to get you what you need to fulfill the strategy that you got based on the budget you have.